Good morning, traders. It is Tuesday. Welcome back to another episode of Pre-Market Prep. We got a lot to talk about today. NVIDIA's conference kicking off yesterday. SMCI doing an offering. You got some profit taking in Bitcoin. It's a T3 Tuesday. It's Pre-Market Prep. Let's get it going. Welcome to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All righty, let's go through some of the indices this morning. The S&P 500 SPY trading down about 0.4%. The Qs getting a little hit today, trading down 0.6% after a strong day yesterday, closing up nearly a full percentage point. And then the Dow Industrial Average, DIA, trading down about 0.15% after closing up 0.2% yesterday. So basically, the way the market's set up to open is just giving back all of the gains we had yesterday, which was a pretty strong day for bulls. Let's go ahead and bring in my man, Dennis. Dennis, how are we doing this morning?
We're doing good.
You brought yourself in.
Yeah, I brought my man, Joel, too. We knew we missed him. So
when Joel goes away, I bring myself too.
So hi, Joel. Joel's here as well, our technical analyst. He's on top of me here. So we got our technical analyst here. We're good to go.
Beautiful. What happened yesterday? I mean, everything closed higher. What was driving the markets?
Again, excitement a little bit into, you know, the NVIDIA report. We know yesterday morning the markets were very strong. We started to fizzle out, though, as we rallied. I suspected it. I said it on the show yesterday. I think I'd be taking, you know, selling into the strength on the stocks was the play. We still did close higher, but we closed off the highs. But what we have this morning is, one, we've got buyer exhaustion obviously happening, but two, we've got profit taking happening too. So there's just a lot of people who've had a very good first couple months. I've had a very good first couple months in my long-term portfolio, one of the best 2 months in my long-term portfolio in a lot of years. I'm sure a lot of other people sitting on some nice gains too. So you got money managers saying, hey, you know, what do we have to look forward to here in the next couple of weeks? We're now past the NVIDIA conference. We've got Lululemon, Nike earnings, but none of these are going to move the needle. We're really in a lull here for news for the next couple of weeks. Maybe some Fed speak, but we already got the inflation. The market always wants something to look forward to. Not much to look forward to here in the next couple of weeks, really. So I'm saying a bit of profit taking is probably what you're seeing here. And maybe profit taking is prudent here. It's been a pretty good first couple of months. We don't know where the inflation data is ticking higher. TLT hasn't caught a bid whatsoever. IWM has continued the leak. And now tech is starting to fizzle out. So with all that being said, I'm not going to argue with you if you're taking profits. And that's what the market is doing.
Yeah. And speaking of profit taking, I mean, you had yesterday NVIDIA was trading up above $920 earlier in the day as the excitement and buzz around its conference was taking over the street. And then really, as the conference started, we talked about, you know, kind of the sell the news tendency of the market. NVIDIA stock ended up trading lower more than 5% from its highs yesterday, closing at around $884. Is now trading lower again pre-market. So conference, yep. I mean, if you tuned in, we were streaming it here live on Benzinga's channel. Jensen Huang talking about a lot of different things, naming a lot of different companies, some of them big, some of them a little bit smaller. Dennis, what were your biggest, you know, takeaways or, you know, things that stood out to you from that conference yesterday?
One, it was way too long. I watched it. I flipped it on right at 4 o'clock. It didn't end till 5:45. So it was an hour and 45 minutes. It was a long time. But the other thing my takeaway was is I didn't understand 3/4 of it. It was very technical. It was very, you know, like there was some cool things, you know, the humanoids they brought out at the end, you know, there was some cool things, but it was hard for, if you're a technical person and you're right into computers and you're a geek and you're right into there and, you know, that's cool, you understand it all, but I didn't understand hardly any of it. I'm a stock trader. I'm not like a computer geek, so I don't, you know, totally understand all this technical jargon. It was really a lot over my head. And I think it was a lot over the market's head too. So talking to some people on Twitter, they were saying some really cool stuff. You know, obviously, you know, you've got all the technical details there and you can go into those if you want, AB. But overall, My takeaway was it was a bit too long and was a bit too hard to understand. And I think that's why the markets hit the stock a bit.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, let's go ahead and get my Benzinga Pro pulled up here.
Yeah, talk about what they talked about.
A lot of different things. At one point, I mean, the thing that stood out the most to me was at one point they brought out these two little robots and one stopped walking and the price actually of the stock went down on it. But let's just go into our news feed here.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, one of the robots stopped walking and the stock dropped like $5 at the time. Another thing that stood out to me, I mean, we mentioned this on the show yesterday, that NVIDIA was expected to talk about selling some of its more dumbed down chips to China. It did mention Boyd, the electric vehicle manufacturer in China that Warren Buffett was an investor in, as well as XPeng. So those are two of maybe the smaller companies that NVIDIA mentioned. We'll get into some of the other ones as well. But as you can see here in our Benzinga Pro, you just have a bunch of different.
So many.
I don't even know where to start. Let's see. So
I don't know if any of it matters. Like, I think you should mention the couple companies. Yeah. Like, right off the hop, he mentioned three companies and they all pop big time. Like, on the initial, it was ANSS, like, right off the hop in the first 10 minutes of the conference, probably the first 5 minutes. He mentioned, you know, three companies.
ANSYS, ANSS, Cadence, CDNS, and Synopsys, NSPS. So TSM and Synopsys bring breakthrough NVIDIA computational lithography platform to production. I'm not even going to pretend with you, Dennis, to know exactly what that means. All I know is that when NVIDIA mentions that it's working with a company, it's worth it to start looking at that company. We saw that a few months ago when NVIDIA's investments in SoundHound and some of those other companies were announced, and you saw those pop. NVIDIA Blackwell platform arrives to a power of new era computing. NVIDIA announces Blackwell GPU. So these were the predecessors to the Hopper chip. So they're announcing the next generation. NVIDIA to partner with ANSYS and Cadence to add CUDA acceleration. Again, all these different names for like what they name their technologies. You know, it's hard to keep up with all of it. Live at NVIDIA keynote event, Jensen Huang says many organizations expected to adopt Blackwell, such as Amazon Web Services, Dell, Google, Meta, Microsoft, OpenAI, Oracle, and Xi. So, I mean, you really have a who's who of big tech companies when you're talking about AWS, Dell, Google, Meta, Microsoft, etc., all planning on using NVIDIA's technology. I don't think that should come as a surprise to anyone. There's a reason NVIDIA's stock has been trading up so much over the past year, and it's because all these different companies are enlisting NVIDIA's technology to power its AI. NVIDIA announces new X800 series designed for massive AI scale. So it's like more of the same. I mean, I don't think there's really like one specific thing that we take away from it. And maybe the market was a little disappointed in the just that there wasn't the one sexy announcement that got the stock running, and you saw it trade down again. Let's pull up the chart here. Go to a 5-minute chart so you can kind of see the intraday action. What time do you know exactly what time the conference started at?
Well, you're looking at that chart at the 9:20 open there from the day. Oh. So it started right at 4 o'clock. So if you're looking just at 4 o'clock's action from yesterday, the stock chopped around a little bit. It did go higher, but then it just started to leak and started to leak. Actually, you were right. I think you were right, actually. You were looking at the right chart because it popped initially. Initially popped when the conference started, and then they started to sell it off.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we can go in the technical jargon. We can go in all that. But bottom line here is stock ran up $40 into the report. You know, it was 884, went up to 920, and then started to leak throughout the day. Popped a little bit on the initial, and not the report, the event we're talking about, but popped a little bit on the event and then started to leak it. It's your classic buy ahead of the event, sell on the event. We've seen it again. You know, we warned about it. You warned about it yesterday too, AB. I mean, I just think we're past the event now. It's like a little bit of profit taking and buyer exhaustion. Is the AI story over? I don't think so. I think you're in the first inning. I think there's going to be a lot of cool things coming here. Would I buy a pullback at NVIDIA if I didn't own it? Yeah, but I would wait until it stopped going down, you know, start to, we talk about that, you know, the pullback, start to stabilize and then start to, you know, hook higher. That's where you strike, not usually striking right off the hop. So NVIDIA is a story. Obviously, it's driving a lot of different stocks here today. Some of those stocks that you mentioned, and you could clearly see the algorithms trading it off of the conference. Every time they would name a company, the stock would pop. And it was even the case with Apple. They mentioned Vision Pro and Apple popped like 70 cents. Well, that pop lasted about 70 seconds. And, you know, then people came back in and it's like, wow, you know, we know they're going to do deals with Amazon and Oracle and Apple and Google. And none of those pops lasted. The pops that did last were some of the smaller companies. Dell was up significantly last night, but it has given it back here now too. So it was all just, you know, a sell the rip market really last night. If you were selling the rips on all those stocks, you were rewarded here.
Yeah, Gio Gotch in the chat saying it everything, but people have no clue on the technology, so couldn't digest it. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, like Jensen Huang is such a smart guy, and you have, you know, when he speaks during earnings calls and stuff, I feel like he does a really good job communicating to investors, explaining what's going on in the company and the exciting developments. But at a conference like that, it's not about, you know, the earnings and the money and this and that. It's about the technology itself. So unless you have this base knowledge in AI and computing, it's really hard to understand. And I did mention that on the show yesterday, that thinking back to like big Apple events that we used to all watch and pay attention to in the market, when Apple announces a new product and is showing off a new computer feature or new iPhone, it's a little bit easier and more tangible for investors to realize what's going on. And again, that's not taking anything away from NVIDIA. I think just what they're talking about is so cutting edge that people like me, who, you know, have a baseline understanding maybe of the markets and stocks and whatnot, but it's hard to understand everything AI related when you have Jensen Huang, who's been doing it for, you know, 20 plus years and is probably the smartest guy on that stuff, maybe him and Sam Altman in the world. But either way, we'll be watching NVIDIA again today. That conference will continue.
It's going to be a lot of chop. It's going to chop around, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, give a perspective here. Like, this is not like, oh my gosh, NVIDIA is crashing. It's down $20 here. I mean, even if it went down to 800, stock is still in a clear uptrend here. I mean, nothing goes straight up. I wish stocks just went straight up. I wish they wouldn't shake you out. I wish, you know, it was just that simple, but that's not the stock market. Stocks go up, stocks go down, stocks trend. The trend is still intact here. We're in profit-taking mode here. I'm still holding my NVIDIA, but I've sold some other stuff. Like I told you, I had a trade portion on. I got rid of that before the event. So if you were trading this thing, it was probably prudent to take the money before the event. I've got a long-term investment in it also that I'm holding. It's about 4 or 5% of my long-term portfolio that I'm holding because I still think NVIDIA is going to be higher long-term. So you got to separate it there. But lots of other stocks to talk about in the sector here too. Let's move on here, Aaron.
Yeah.
Because we got SMCI doing an offering here. And the SMCI story is cooling off significantly here. This stock chart is starting to look broken to me. Not saying that the story is over here, but valuation, you know, obviously, you know, we just don't, this isn't NVIDIA. Supermicro is not NVIDIA. They're obviously making a lot of money because of NVIDIA, but they're not NVIDIA. So down $100, another offering, which is somewhat concerning because I thought they did an offering. Did they do an offering a couple of weeks ago? Were they not doing an offering like 2 weeks ago? Am I wrong?
I know.
Or they just talked about that offering and they hadn't priced it yet.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know if they for sure did another offering a couple of weeks ago. I know we talked about when Viking Therapeutics ripped higher, they did an offering. But SMCI, I mean, this is what I mean. If you're a growth company, like if you're still in that growth mode, like SMCI is, and your stock pops, you know, 300% or whatever, that's always on the table. So if there's a smaller company, I mean, let's look up at SMCI. I mean, it's actually not that small. It's $55 billion market cap now, but it was smaller. And then so they announced an offering of 2 million shares of its common stock. I mean, and it's getting hit on this, down 10% pre-market. But like you said, Dennis, I mean, this story had kind of cooled off before that. I mean, look at these the daily chart. You're looking at these red candles closed down 5%, 5.5%, then 6.4% yesterday. And then now it's trading down another 10%. So four red days in a row here for SMCI, it looks like. And I mean, at the end of the day, zooming out on the chart, I mean, this thing has still gone from, you know, $100 or $200, $300 to
$1,200,
now back to $900. So it's not like, you know, everyone's lost their money and it's done a complete round trip, but this is a big sell-off. And maybe right now it's trading at a little bit more of a reasonable valuation. I don't know. I wouldn't be coming in and buying this dip just because I never like to come in and try to buy these falling knives. I'd like to see it, you know, find some support somewhere, consolidate, maybe around this $800 level. It looks like, you know, we could have some support there. But I mean, yeah, it's ugly out there for SMCI this morning.
Yeah, it is. This isn't nothing either. 2 million shares is about 3.5% of the float. So they're diluting about 3.5%, 3.6%. So it's not like it's a 1% dilution or less. It's fairly significant. So 3.6 up to 4% almost is fairly significant dilution here. I think you're right. I think you got good support down there at 800, and buyers may come in there early. I'm completely out of the SMCI. I mean, it went from 300 to $1,000 in 3 months. So it was time to ring the register here. I know a lot of other people rang the register. I had another run after that, the S&P ad. But now, what do you have to look forward to in Supermicro? The NVIDIA conference is gone. You know, you've got an offering in your face. You've got a lot of people sitting on a lot of profits still. It's another classic example of the title of the show today. We're in profit-taking mode. The market is in profit-taking mode here. We're not in crash mode, but we're in profit-taking mode. And there's a lot of profits in Supermicro Computer.
Yeah, and last week when we got the hotter-than-expected inflation data, I mean, the market, the first day actually moved higher, and then once we got the higher PPI, you know, sold off a tiny bit. But it's like you said, Dennis, it's not like we're in crash mode. It's not like that data, you know, made everyone go out there and start selling, but it is making investors and traders seem a bit more tentative and maybe like that next rally. Like what is the next positive catalyst? Like what are we supposed to get excited about right now when you have inflation trending higher, you have stocks like SMCI and NVIDIA that have already ran up hundreds of percentage points. I think investors are probably looking for somewhere to park their money. And I don't know where that is. I think oil's getting hit again this morning or oil's getting hit as well this morning. So USO down 0.4%. I do want to pull up some of the companies that NVIDIA mentioned because I was still loading my charts. So you have Synopsys. We mentioned that. Let's go to the 5-minute chart here so you can see really that spike right when they got mentioned during
That's the bots. You know, that's the algos. The algo spike was on all of these stocks. So if you bring up every single one, you'll see the algo spike, the mention and the algo spike, and then the subsequent sell-off because the algos just got overexcited on all these stocks. Like CDNS, there was the initial spike. It made the high. You know, and then pulled off there. So many of these probably look the same. So ANS, Synopsys, the other one you mentioned. Synopsys. Yeah, I think.
Cadence, you know, Synopsys, ANS. Those were the small ones.
Yeah, show them. All the same. Initial spike, algo spike. You're chasing that initial spike, that initial mention, you probably lost money because it popped and it was hard to make money because it popped so fast. But then there was even like Snowflake, and we'll stop and talk about Snowflake for a second here because it gets a mention, and it had a pretty good pop there too. It started giving it back though, and then Dell was mentioned, and Dell was huge. Show the Dell one too, DELL. Show all these. They all look the same. They all popped. The initial algo spike topped them, and they never retouched those. The initial Dell spike, you know, he's even talking about, here's Michael Dell. I didn't even understand that. I thought Michael Dell was coming on the stage or something, and that wasn't the case. But I don't know why he said, well, here's Michael Dell. I'm like, I don't totally understand what that. But the algos were really got excited on that one. I mean, it popped up to 110, right back down to 106 here this morning. So giving it all back. Again, market effects here to a certain extent. But just buyer exhaustion, and they're coming in there. Oh, my gosh, he mentioned Dell. Oh, my gosh, he mentioned Amazon. Even Amazon had a little initial pop here. It's Amazon, for crying out loud. Of course NVIDIA is doing deals with Amazon. Of course they're doing deals with Microsoft. Of course they're doing deals with Apple. None of those spikes lasted more than like a minute, and they were starting to give it back.
And then we mentioned as well that Jensen Huang did mention some of the bigger tech companies that will be using NVIDIA. Those moved a little bit less, but still a little bit. One of the companies he mentioned was Apple, said that NVIDIA's technology will be used in Apple's Vision Pro. Saw some people in the chat talking about Apple. I mean, it seems like people are pretty bearish on Apple here, just not that excited about the new Vision Pro, saying it's you know, old, it's not exciting right now. I think actually, you know, we talked about, we had a guest on in the last few, or like last week, that said they really liked Apple down here. And I think if it gets back down below anything below 170, I might be looking at to buy Apple here. I just think it's it's not going anywhere, right, Dennis? I mean, like, I don't know.
And I don't think anybody was saying it's boring and useless, the Vision Pro. I think it was what I was saying is it's bulky and expensive. So those are the two issues that I think are struggling. I think technology is amazing in it. I just think it's too bulky, and it was giving people headaches, you know, that were putting it on. I was like, oh boy, that's why when I bought Apple, because I thought the Vision Pro might be a needle mover there. And then I sold it because when I get responsive headaches, I was like, well, that's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear people getting headaches about it. And that starts getting around, people aren't going to buy it. So Apple's still expensive is the problem. Stock is 27 times earnings. Got a little bit cheaper. It was almost 30 times earnings. Stock's come off a bit. At 160, 150, 140, you start to get into, like, it's starting to get reasonably valued. But the growth has not been there for Apple for a very long time. This product does not appear to be moving the needle. A mention from NVIDIA isn't going to move the needle for Apple. The one thing it's got going for it is if NVIDIA starts to sell off, Apple has been moving opposite NVIDIA. So I don't know if that's going to be the case here, you know, continued, you know, that's probably not going to be the case, but you know, it's not down much here today. So it's holding up. I do think you got some support down there at 170, talking with the trading hat on there, probably find some buyers there. Longer term, stock's still not cheap.
Yeah. You do have Glenn pointing out, we did talk about this on the show, that NVIDIA and Apple had been kind of trading against each other on days where NVIDIA was up big, Apple was down, and vice versa. And that's kind of showing the like environment the market is in right now, where it's not all seven Magnificent Seven stocks moving together. You have, you know, days where some are up and some are down. I mean, yesterday was a good day for the Mag Seven because you had Google, two, you know, some of the big laggards in the seven so far had great days. Google closed higher more than 4% on this announcement that it is going to license its Gemini AI product to Apple for its iPhones. Apple also closed up higher yesterday, but you know, not as good of a day as Google, only up around 0.6%. And then Tesla also had a great day yesterday, closing up more than 6%. Was this just people buying the dip on Tesla?
Yeah, again, yeah, a little bit. Sector rotation, you know, looking for something, you know, that maybe. And there was a couple headlines that were raising prices. You know, we've been hearing about prices going lower. Raising prices sound like demand's a little bit better. There's a few headlines out there that's trying to drive it. But put all this together. Like what I try to do is all the stock market is on any given day is taking the pieces of the puzzle and putting them together to get a better understanding of where we're going. Well, if you put all the pieces of the puzzle, the recent pieces of the puzzle together, what are you seeing on most of these stocks, you know, that pop up? What are you seeing? Subsequent sell-offs. They're not holding the gains. What does that mean? We're in profit-taking mode, but that also means we've moved from buy the dip to sell the rip. And a lot of people haven't realized that yet. We have. In the last week, we've been selling rips. And the buy the dip crowd, it's not working, folks. You know, look at Palo Alto Networks trying, you know, to not really rallying much from where, you know, it ripped up from. We had the Nancy rally. That didn't hold. Look at Snowflake. It had the initial sell-off, and everybody's like, well, you got to buy dip on tech. Everybody who bought that dip on tech is now down another 28 points on top of it here. So it's where we've flipped the script here, and it's going to flip back, folks. It's going to keep listening to the show because we are a show that goes bullish, bearish, bullish, bearish. Why do we do that? Because we're traders. And if we just stay eternally bullish, we're not going to make much money trading. We'll make money investing. As an investor, you want to be eternally bullish. But if you're a trader, you've got to be able to flip. You've got to be able to say, okay, it's profit-taking time. Okay, it's time to buy the dip. Okay, it's time to short the rip. I still believe to be a full-time trader, you need to short stocks too. Just my opinion, because I know when you get in those tough markets that, you know, there's a lot of money made on the short side too. I don't think we're in this market where we've got to be shorting stocks, but we're not in this market where buy the dip is working here now. And sell the rip is actually clearly working. Sell the rip on all those NVIDIA pops last night worked on almost all of them, if not all of them. It might have been 100% last night on sell the rip on all those NVIDIA stocks that were mentioned.
Yeah. Speaking of you know, sell-offs, we did also have another offering yesterday after the close. Beyond Meat announced an offering trading down 5% this morning. I mean, this one is, looking at the chart, it's like as ugly as ugly gets for Beyond Meat. I don't know. I mean, like how this company's, what it's burn rate is, if it's fine with the higher interest rates, but just looking at the chart, this looks like a company that, you know, is not really doing too hot. I've never really been in Beyond Meat. Dennis, you've talked about trying some of these meat products before. I know your kids don't like them.
No. And I think the product is fine. The valuation was completely insanity. That was the problem. We had Mark Yusko on this show who participated, you know, in, you know, the initial funding of this, and he was locked up and couldn't sell his stock. And he said when the lockup expiration came, he was selling the stock as fast as he possibly could, you know, because he knew the valuation was just nuts. It was never a $200. It was a $200 stock, but it was never worth that, folks. It was never, the value was never there for that. That was just the tech bubble in itself. You know, you got a fake meat burger trading, you know, hundreds of times earnings, if not, they weren't even making money. So, you know, valuation was just absolutely insane. You can go, sometimes just go, you know, go to your pro details, type it in, type in the stock, BYND, and look up what the forward PE is, look at the PEs. It won't even matter because I don't think it makes money. But, you know, the market cap in itself, too. So it's still worth $537 million. It's $1.13 billion in debt. So it's really hammered with debt here. It doesn't make money. Revenue growth is minus 18%. So you got a company that's actually revenue growth is declining here. I mean, there's nothing good to say. The only possible way the stock goes up is if it's a short squeeze. That's it. And, you know, the short squeezed it for a bit there a couple weeks ago. What happens? Real sellers come back in. Everybody who's underwater comes back in. I've been on the, I've been saying I think eventually Beyond Meat could go bankrupt. So I'm not a fan of the stock whatsoever. I would sell all rallies.
Yeah, someone in the chat saying, looks like Beyond Meat's going the way of Fisker. I mean, this is, again, just been a disaster. You mentioned, let's go back to the chart here on the monthlies. You can see here in 2019, really before, I mean, I actually didn't even realize it was this early. I thought it was kind of just during COVID, the COVID markets, but you saw it got that other spike up, reach back above $220 a share here. But I mean, that's like, you know, I guess one of the best things you can do is if you're in charge of bringing a company to the market is finding that timing. And they went to the market at the perfect time. If their, you know, plan was to, you know, get this stock as high as it could, and then you had some of the insiders selling there. But, you know, if it, if this stock went public now, today in 2024, I don't think you see this same euphoric run up
to
220. So we're in a
2020 was a special time. It was a time of speculation. It was a time where we were all locked up and people were just sitting at home and trying to find the next stock. It was a time where David Portnoy was throwing darts at a board and putting three letters together and buying it because stonks only went up. Well, we all learned that the hard way, that stonks don't always go up, that some go down. And actually, a lot of these were bubbles. Now, you know, I don't know Beyond Meat's going bankrupt or anything. I'm just saying the possibility is there. When a stock goes from 200 to 8, sometimes it's a possibility that it continues to go down, you know, and goes off the board. I don't know if that's the case, but this is, you know, when they got that kind of debt, they're not making money. There's always a possibility, especially with rates here, that there's a possibility that could happen. So don't just think, a lot of people come in and say, oh, $7.90 will be back at 200 eventually. The stock is never going back to 200, folks. I can almost say that with 100% confidence. You can never say 100% confidence because maybe something happens, but 99.999% chance not going back to 200 bucks. Probably not going back to 100. Probably not going back to 50, 40, 30, 20. You know, maybe it pops up to 10 or 12 again on another short squeeze, but in all likelihood, there's so many people who are underwater here. Just as quickly as the March rally was sold, I think you continue to leak here. So I think if you're a buyer of the stock, I think you'll lose money.
Dikembe Mutombo in the chat pointing out that it was worth more than Tyson at one point. And that just shows you how kind of...
insanity.
Yeah, how ridiculous, how insane the markets get sometimes. And I mean, you have different environments. In that environment back in 2019, 2020... you could sell a stock based on the story that, oh my God, this is, you know, it's more environmentally friendly. People are going to go vegan more and buy the meat and stuff. And then now all of a sudden that interest rates are above 5%. It's not about, oh, what are you going to be doing in 20 years? It's about how much money are you making now? And it's a completely different market because you can't just say, oh, like this story is so sexy. Everyone's got to buy the stock and it's going to run up to $200 because people would look at the fundamentals and be like, look, this thing's not making money. Interest rates are above 5%. I'm not touching it. And so, you know,
Beyond Meat was supposed to save the world because we weren't going to eat cows anymore. And we know the cow farts are destroying our atmosphere. I mean, all ridiculous stuff. And this was what we were in. We were in, you know, this environment where speculation was running rampant. We're not in that environment anymore. We're not Kansas anymore, folks. Beyond Meat's time has passed us. Next.
Yeah, Daniel's saying the F word, the fad item, and that's what you know, that's what you can't be if you're in you know, in some of these companies. You don't want to invest into a fad. Let's go to MicroStrategy here. Been one of the best performing stocks of the year so far. Let's go to a, what kind of chart do we want? Let's go to a 5-minute chart. No, let's go to an hour chart here so we can see the past couple of days. Stock closed down more than 15% yesterday and is trading down another 11% today. And I mean, this thing's basically just going to trade with Bitcoin, but you've seen this pullback in Bitcoin. Wow, got down to 63,000. Bitcoin, of course, was at 73,000 last week. So in a week, Bitcoin has dropped from 73,000 to 63,000. It went to about 67, I want to say, and kind of consolidated here for a bit yesterday. We're looking at a 1-hour chart here of Bitcoin, but another sell-off here. We talked about this on the show, or at least I mentioned it, that I felt like once you started seeing some of these weird meme coin rallies that you've never heard about, you know, a Nancy Pelosi coin or a Elizabeth Warren coin running hundreds of percentage points in a matter of a day, two, whatever, that kind of felt like the end of the speculation cycle for me. And so maybe like next time we get a big crypto rally, which, you know, if history tells us anything, is that we will get another big crypto rally and Bitcoin will rally again. And you'll see some of these meme coins rally. That might be my cue to sell, is that when I see a coin I've never heard of before go up, you know, 3,000% in a day, and some kid on Twitter is talking about how he turned $300 into $100,000. But I mean, would you be buying this dip on Bitcoin here, Dennis? I know you hold.
Bitcoin,
I know you hold,
is
somewhere
different than all these speculative coins that you're talking about. I mean, nobody, Michael Saylor, nobody goes more all in than Michael Saylor. I mean, he keeps doing offerings to buy more Bitcoin. So MSTR is your leveraged play on Bitcoin here. Yeah, I'm still holding Bitcoin long term. I think we'll see 100,000 here eventually. I don't own any other coins. I don't own Cat Coin, Pelosi Coin, Doggy Coin, none of them. You know, that's all speculation running rampant. I think Bitcoin's real. I don't think it's going away. It's cooling off too, though. I mean, nothing goes straight up. And like we said before, we wish stocks went straight up. It would make investing a hell of a lot easier. We're in a cool-off period. We're in profit-taking mode. As much as they're taking profits in NVIDIA and SMCI today, they're taking profits in Bitcoin here too. All these stocks and asset classes are kind of the same. They all ran up together, and now they're all selling off together. There's relationships here. Even though Bitcoin, nothing to do with SMCI, they both had significantly great runs in January and February, and they're both in profit-taking mode.
Yeah, I mean, and MicroStrategy, like you said, it's the leverage play. So when Bitcoin's going up, you're going to get really good returns. And when Bitcoin's going down, you're going to get hit. And that's how you see a 25% retracement in just a couple days here for MicroStrategy. Dennis, do you know what MicroStrategy did before Bitcoin was a thing?
I don't even know if I ever knew what MicroStrategy did before Bitcoin. All you need to know is this leverage play on Bitcoin. So I don't get paid to understand the MicroStrategy intricate little business, which is nothing of their business now, because it's basically their business is leveraging up Bitcoin. That's what their business is now. And Michael Saylor, to his credit, what he has done, you know, he went all in when Bitcoin's like 16,000-17,000. People are like, holy cow, he's going to bankrupt this company. Went down to $132 a stock, and it looked like he might. Well, Bitcoin turned around something fierce, and man, that was actually a good call.
So MicroStrategy back here, and we're looking at the monthly chart here in the early 2000s. It was a data mining company. So I guess they were always in the mining business, digital mining somewhat. But I mean, Michael Saylor has now, you know, when you look at this stock chart, I mean, this split adjusted probably ran up to $3,500 in the dot-com bubble. Complete round trip, went down here. And then you fast forward 20 years, and basically did the same exact thing. It popped up all the way down here.
24 years later, it's back.
And then, yeah, finally back, got back, you know, almost to those highs that we were at in the early 2000s. So Michael Saylor has had a very interesting career, to say the least.
Yes, he has.
These run-ups, and then you had this huge, you know, down period for 20 years, pop up again. So he's done this before. He's been through it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in MicroStrategy. I'm not even in Bitcoin, so I'm not going to, you know, speculate too much. But, you know, hopefully, I guess if you're in MicroStrategy, if you were buying the highs last week, you're hoping for a quick rally back, because I'm sure there are a lot of investors.
Don't chase. This is a story in chasing, folks. You're chasing stocks. A lot of times you're one of the last ones on the train. Let's go grab Christian. Christian Tharp in the background here.
Yep, let's do it. 8:36 a.m. That means it's time to bring on our guest. We've got Christian Tharp, CMT from T3 Trading. Let's give Christian our very special pre-market prep welcome and see what Christian's been watching when we get back. All right, Christian Tharp, welcome to Zynga's pre-market prep. I think a first-time guest. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you, Aaron?
I am good. So what, I mean, been kind of a crazy markets the past couple of weeks, a lot of chop. What have you been watching?
Well, I tell you, over the past couple of days, just the beach out here, down in Del Rey, so that's all I've been looking at. So I had to sharpen my pencil this morning to be ready to go toe-to-toe with you guys. But it's funny because you're looking at the same things that we look at, you know, over at T3 and in my little universe. We kind of keep tabs on the MSTRs of the world. We keep tab on the NVIDIAs, the SMCIs for us, and kind of looking for those more volatile rides in trading. Those have been gifts for us.
That means we're on the right track if we're watching the same things you guys are over at T3 Trading, because you guys do a great job. Do you have any specific names you want to talk about? And feel, you know, more than welcome to share your chart, you know, charts if you want to, or I can pull the charts up on my end.
Yeah, feel free. Go ahead. I know that if we pan out a little bit and kind of, you know, I like to divide things in different tranches. And so we do, I don't know if you want to call it fun stuff, but some volatile things. We do some things that are, hey, if you've got some house money to go with here. But then if we pan out, we say, all right, let's look at the stuff we're a little bit more serious about. We've been focusing a lot on two sectors that have been doing pretty well, energy and materials. When you look in the materials space, we're keeping an eye on two particular stocks. Believe it or not, Sherwin-Williams, you know, might not be the sexiest name out there. But if you take a peek, looks like you might have yourself a little bull flag forming over the past couple weeks. It recently hit some new highs. It's looking good. Several stocks in the space are. And so that was one we were taking a look at for a possible breakout of that flag to the upside. And the other one was Nucor. You know, NUE.
Yep.
Really liked kind of when I look at that stock as a technical analyst, I'm seeing either one, a topping process, or two, a consolidation before breaking higher. The stock clearly has been holding up around this 180 area. And so as long as we're holding 180, we're looking for higher prices. And we think the first shot across the bow to higher prices there will be taking out the 190 area. Take out 190, of course, you're probably going to that high. And I think you probably take it out as well. So When we kind of pan out away from the hot names and you say, okay, we have plenty in our world that are looking for more longer term, something maybe I can get into for a while. And those were two of the names that pop up to me in the material space. And then, of course, oil, we've been watching for quite some time. I believe if you look back over the last year, you've got that end of September into January channel that oil took out. And once it took that out, we started kind of getting a little bit more hyper-focused on some energy names. We do some ETF stuff. So things like the XOP and XLE came back into focus for us, but really liked what oil had done. And it looks like maybe oil wants to take a run at 85-ish here in the short term and take that out. I don't see any reason why you're not testing that high around 95.
You think that inverse relationship between oil and equities continues? Like if oil starts to go up here, do other stocks get hit? Because we know they're looking at oil and oil prices go into the CPI and then the CPI is higher. And then all of a sudden we can't own IWM because it's going to go down. Do you think that relationship continues?
I don't think I could have said it better than you, Dennis. And so I do think it does here for a while. Speaking of, when you look at CPI, when we start talking about yields, we start talking about bonds, we also keep an eye on the TLT. TLT is probably the main vehicle that, at least, again, in my little universe, that we use to trade what we think might be happening with one or the other, simply both. And TLT, if you look back and you kind of pan out over, like, say, right around that area, look back and notice that area around 92. Take out the dip back there in September, October, November. Look how often that 92-ish area has given us some support on the TLT. You go back into 2022, you go back right there before September. Once we got back above it, we held support there again. So you'll notice that's exactly where we're sitting now. And we think you take that 92 out, not only does that tell us something about where the TLT might be going, but it also tells us kind of confirms what a lot of us are thinking about, you know, yields and rates and such. So, TLP, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Finish up real quick.
I'll say now there's also the, here's where that whole, if you get too many lines on the screen, you know, they start kind of, there's also the chance that you kind of see the potential for what we might look at as like a little bull flag here for not little, but kind of over the past couple months, got a perfect little trend line. I don't really care what you call it, what little names, but there's a nice little trend line going across those three highs. If we take those, you know, take that little trend line out, that tells me something about where this might be going. If it takes out 92 on the downside, tells me, you know, another. So we kind of sit tight and wait for the battle to play itself out and see who wins.
Got it. Well, I wanted to talk about your, you know, option trading strategy, Christian. And we do have this, you know, QR code on the bottom to, if you want to check out some of Christian's trades, and then Christian, maybe can you tell our audience exactly what they would get with this and what you're providing your users there?
Yeah, you bet. So in a complete U-turn, when you talk about what we refer to as Paragon, you know, it's this is a training. It takes you to a training of what we do with Paragon. And it's going circling back to that kind of more fun. In other words, I always advise all my members, these trades that we're talking about, these options, these are one day. So we're putting these on like on a Thursday for the Friday. This is something, if you've got an extra $50 in your account that you don't mind losing, these are the winners that, you know, if, when we hit them right, they turn into these real big, right? Or some would just simply call lotto type plays. But it certainly is, you know, I try to, you know, even in the training, I try to explain, look, be very, very aware of what we're talking about here. We're not talking about sophisticated investing in these trades. We're talking about, hey, MSTR, we've hit some pretty big run shots with SMCI because these things are so volatile. If we can do some analysis and get it right going into, say, a Friday, this allows us to open the door to those 500, 1,000% or more type winners. But you're also going to get wiped out when you're wrong. So a lot of people like it because if they're disciplined and they can manage their money well, and they're not putting all their money in these trades and just kind of, again, they've had a good week. I got $100. I'm going to buy a contract of that. It's been a lot of fun. It's been pretty successful for us.
Got it. Well, yeah, again, guys, through that link in the chat, if you want to check out some more of Christian's options trades, we love 500 to 1,000% winners here. There's nothing wrong with that. We love those.
I'll take those.
Yeah, you got to come back on next time. Maybe we got to get you on like a Thursday before a Friday, and we'll get some of those calls in, because I love playing those too. You know, when you got one day till expiration and you buy a call that's 5% out of the money, next thing you know, the stock opens up and it doesn't even have to get there. I mean, it can just open up on Friday, 2% higher. And the next thing you know, you sell it. You can take some profits off the board. Let the rest ride. That's what I typically do. You guys should definitely go check that out. Again, link is in the chat, or you can scan that QR code on the screen. All right. Well, Christian, any options trades this week that you're looking at?
Actually, no, I have not been, just simply, again, hanging out here on vacation with the family. I haven't looked at much, although I am looking at, I think that if, speaking of MSTR, I think you've got a little mini shelf you want to pay attention to right around that 1450 area. And NVIDIA, I'm watching around 8.25. If you pull up NVIDIA, I think that you'll see, if you'll look where the kind of the gap up. I'm kind of looking at, right on, look at where you've got, what do we got here? The 23rd of February, you got that little gap up. Yep. Same spot where the next gap launched from. So I think if NVIDIA continues to fall, it looks like it's down another close to 30, 25 today. I think you come down to that little shelf, you take that out and you start looking for a fall, I'd be looking at 740. So in the little communique I've been doing with my members, we follow NVIDIA a lot. And that's also, too, one of those stocks that can get us some pretty good winners when we're right. So if we position ourselves well, we can afford to take a hit here and there as long as we get some of these right. So
let's talk about what do you do like when your thesis doesn't play out? Like, how do you protect yourself? Because when you're trading NVIDIA, when you're trading in MSTR, when you're trading the SMCIs, it's big returns, but it's big risk as well. Talk about how you protect your capital when you're trading these stocks.
Well, so typically when we break into these tranches, some of the trading that I do with a certain group of members is much more like the TLT. We're looking for XOPs, looking for things we can hold for weeks that you can go about your job and not worry about it. And if it goes south, like say, for example, TLT doesn't hold 92 and we decide to buy puts and then it goes right back above, we're not going to lose a lot. We're going to lick our wounds and move on. when you talk about those bigger names like that, those are ones that I reserve for the more seasoned traders that kind of know what they're getting into and know that if we, you know, you play with that kind of fire on a Wednesday or a Thursday, which is typically what we do so we can get the premiums down to fan the flames of the potential reward, right? So if we're not spending $20 a contract versus if we can spend $1, $2, then it drastically increases our chances that if we're right, the winner is going to be much, much bigger because to answer your question, in all likelihood, we're going to take some hits if we try to you know play with those. Something like an NVIDIA is not quite the wild animal that MSTR and SMCI can be for us. So a lot of times with those, what we'll do is we'll do some sort of hedging with a variation of a strangle, right? So we're definitely leaning on the puts, for example, but we're going to buy these calls way up here just in case, that type of thing. But timing is everything too. Are we putting this trade on a Monday? Are we putting it on for a month or just a day?
So you got all different time frames you're trading all the time.
Yeah.
What about Christian? I mean, I know you're a CMT. How do you ever look at any like fundamentals or are you looking at anything other than charts ever? Or are you like purely technical?
Purely technical. Now, I become aware of some of those big news moving, you know, news market moving events where that could put us in position specifically with that type of strangle strategy where, hey, look, I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be, but I think it's going to be a big outcome. But outside of that, yeah, I tend to keep my head down, stay in my lane. And for what I do, I think when you start getting into the fundamentals and the news, what can happen, obviously not guaranteed, but what can happen is you start to become emotionally, you know, psychologically attached to that fundamental or news story and ignore what price might be telling you, which discounts everything, right? So I tend to keep my head down right onto those charts, yes.
Looking at the chart here, I'm looking at just a daily chart of the Qs or, you know, SPY. Like, does this look bullish to you, bearish to you? Or are we kind of at the, I feel like we're kind of at this inflection point up here where it looks like on the chart it could go either way.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we were following on, looking Qs, looking at the NDX. We were looking at, it appears we broke out of the bottom of a channel, similar to like the S&P taking out a wedge formation, which combined with all the other factors. So we talk about momentum having been drying up. A lot have been have referenced the momentum, like say on the RSI, continuing to decline with these highs. So what that tells us is that obviously price is hitting highs, but it's weaker as it goes, tends to be a formula for an eventual fall. Some breadth measures have been a concern to us. So like stocks keeping up, specifically when we look at the leadership that had been those tech names. I think what I've been advising everybody is look, you know, a trend in force stays in force until otherwise noted. Be cautious trying to short this thing. But we're seeing so many signs that, and everyone needs to remember too, it's okay, right? Like some people get really upset when you say, hey, I think there's going to be a pullback. I'm like, you know, it's okay. It's healthy for a market to wash this stuff out. You want that because as the saying goes, healthy markets take a breath. If they don't, they die, right? Or they have a heart attack. You want, you know, I always joke on my calls with like Jack Nicholson, you know, with a few good men. You want that pullback. You need that pullback, right? You got to have that because I always challenge my listeners, go find me that security that looks like MSTR does right now, like the chart you just pulled up. Go show me the one that didn't crash hard eventually.
Yeah.
Right?
Go find those meme stocks, those work at home stocks, those .coms. Go show me the one that didn't crash hard eventually. And we don't want that, right? We want that nice, good market going up. So I think that's what we need badly right now. Otherwise, I start to get concerned about the health of the bull if we just keep doing that.
Yeah. And a lot of times I feel like when you do get the pullbacks, you have the kind of perma bears or the people that had been bearish, you know, taking a victory lap. See, yeah. I was right. And it's like, no, I mean, NVIDIA pulled back from, you know, 950 to 850, right? It's still up 400% and probably still in a bullish trend. That's not to say it couldn't go lower from here, but I mean, like pullbacks, like you said, Christian, are healthy. All right. Well, it is 850. Again, you have the QR code in the bottom of the screen. I'll throw that link in the chat one more time if you want to check out Christian's options trades. Someone in the chat, Christian, was asking if you got any social media presence, anywhere they can follow you on Twitter, anything like that?
Yeah, at CMT Stock Coach. That's on Twitter. CMT. Not only am I a CMT, but that actually is my initials too.
Oh, wow. CMT you were destined for that.
Yeah. They recruited me. So
nice. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll drop that Twitter link in the chat as well. Christian, great conversation today. Loved having you on. We'll have to get you on again in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great morning.
You do the
same.
Christian.
Enjoy your vacation.
Yeah. Have fun in Florida. All right, guys. That was Christian Tharp from T3 again. I'll drop those links in the chat one more time if you want to check it out. We've got about 9 minutes left. If you guys have any stocks you want to check out, drop them in the chat. Shout out to everyone watching us on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Got a bunch of viewers there right now. Good to see. Dennis, anything you're looking at right now?
I'm looking at a rally in those names that move opposite NVIDIA. So Google and Apple have just went green. And this is the rotation that we continue to see. Is like, it's like NVIDIA is down $25 now. It's going to take the entire market with it. Not so fast, because we've seen this happen already, that it seemed like Apple and Google have been moving opposite for a while. You can throw Tesla in that camp too. And Tesla is down on the day, but I wouldn't be surprised if it starts to show some strength if NVIDIA stays down. So you got to understand these new relationships we have. And again, they don't last. Nothing is forever. So it's, a lot of these relationships are going to break down eventually. But we talked about just off the hop this morning, I'm seeing it again here with Google and Apple both going green here now. And by the dip coming in here a little bit here today, you know, a little bit. We're off the lows. We're still pretty weak on the day, but we're off the lows. We're starting to see some separation here too, though. It's actually IWM that is leading the charge here down now, down well more. They were the same when we started the show. S&P was down as much as IWM. S&P has rallied probably with the Apple and the Googles. But IWM continues to leak here. So we've not seen a lot of strength here in IWM since that inflation data point there a few days ago. And that's concerning. And there's a lot of stocks, you know, that do have some concerning charts here. Now, if IWM loses the 200 here, then you start thinking about the 195, 190 area again, where we were before. So hard to chase stocks in this market.
Yeah. And I mean, IWM, we mentioned that, you know, last week with the hotter than expected inflation data got another hit. I mean, this thing, if you're buying small caps here, you're looking for some sort of rally, because we did get the, you know, the big rally when the whole market was going up. But now the past few weeks haven't been as great for small caps. I mean, of course, we would be remiss not to talk about, of course, tomorrow you do have the FOMC decision. We did look at the CME watch tool yesterday. Pretty much a given that the rates are going to stay the same. It's going to be more about how Powell is talking about it in the press conference after at 2:30. And I imagine he's going to say what he's been saying. We still need to see inflation come down more before we talk about cutting rates. You know, if he says, we're seeing data that, you know, gives us confidence that inflation is coming down, the market could rally off of that. But if he says anything cautious whatsoever, like, hey, we're worried about this, you know, piece of inflation moving higher, we're worried about this, then I think the market could get hit, because, again, the expectation is already that they're not raising rates. So then if he says anything cautious whatsoever, I think we could be in for a big pullback there.
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, this market is now taking note, you know, of the inflation data. We just had a data point coming from Canada today, and actually the Canadian inflation, if you're following it in Canada, actually did tick down, I believe. But Canada's been in a different boat too. I mean, we've been in a recession here, Aaron. We've talked about that. We've had a couple negative quarters of negative GDP. It has slowed down in Canada to a certain extent, not a vicious recession whatsoever. We're actually trying to come out of it here a little bit. But, you know, the difference between Canada and the US, which I've said all along, is that the Canadian banks don't have 30-year mortgages. They have 5-year mortgages. So as rates stay higher, people are 5-year fixed is like the max you can get in Canada. That's it. So as rates start to stay higher for longer, you slowly have this trickle-down effect where people's like, oh my gosh, my mortgage is going from 2.5% to 6.5%. I got to bring back my spending. We don't have it in the U.S. because they're all in 30-year locks. So that's the difference, you know, and that's the difference between, you know, the U.S. and a lot of other countries, because the banks don't take the 30-year mortgages. And, you know, obviously the banks are a little bit smarter, because we saw what happened with the regionals with all these really long mortgages. So great for the consumer, not so great for the banks when the rates stay higher longer. But Canada is a little bit different animal in that way.
Yeah, I've seen people in the chat pointing out the news that Japan is raising the country's interest rates for the first time in 17 years. I'm looking at the ETF here from iShares. EWJ tracking the Japan, trading down 0.25% pre-market. But, I mean, I don't think the market typically – or I don't think the market is really showing that it cares too much about this, because – you know, I've mentioned this on the show before too, like higher interest rates in themselves aren't even inherently bad for markets as long as you have strong economic conditions to back it up. And of course, Japan hit new, you know, highs in its market after 30 years of topping out. So they probably have room to you know, bring these interest rates up a tiny bit. I don't think they're like going straight from negative to 5% or anything. So I think this will be a big news story today, but I don't know how much real implications it's going to have, especially here in the U.S.
And Japan has had negative rates because their economy has suffered for a long time. I mean, Japanese stock market.
They set highs in like the 90s or 80s, and they didn't touch
it. I think it was like 1991.
Yeah, they didn't.
So, you know, we're talking about like a 30-year bear market in Japan, like 30 years of not seeing highs again in your main indice. That's pretty crazy to think about. I think the longest period in the U.S., I believe, is 12 years. Somebody might correct me on that, but I believe it was 68 to 80. 1968, I believe the Dow hit 1,000. I believe it took till 1980 to get it back. So we've had periods of, you know, longer periods of, but I believe that's the longest is 12 years. So these 30-year bear markets in Japan are pretty unprecedented. Obviously, you know, the market's been coming back long in the last couple of years. So Japan's approaching those highs, but it's not made new highs by now.
Double T with a, you know, we've talked a lot about how executives at companies have gone out of their way to mention AI in their earnings calls. And for some companies, it works out. If you can back that up with, you know, some fundamental data that's showing that AI is driving earnings and bringing in more money for your company. But for companies that just try to say it as a buzzword, it hasn't worked out as well.
Yeah.
Double T saying maybe Jerome Powell comes out and says AI tomorrow, which I don't think that's I think that's a non-zero chance because a lot of people.
I think he might say something. He could talk AI.
Yeah, a lot of people have talked about, you know, the U.S.'s productivity numbers have been stronger than expected. So maybe there is a little something to that, that like, hey, maybe AI as the technology, you know, helps us improve efficiencies and productivity, that it could maybe help drive inflation down in the long run. I mean, that's been one of Cathie Wood's thesis for a long time, is that as tech advances, you'll actually see a deflationary effect, which you've seen that in certain parts. I mean, like you look at how flat screen TVs have the prices of flat.
That's the only one. the TVs went cheaper. Everything else got more expensive. Computers did too. Computers got cheaper.
It
used to be you go $3,000 to get a computer. You can get one for $1,000 now. Things got cheaper. You know, and in her area, there is a point there. You know, like technology in her technology area, a lot of things did get cheaper.
Yeah, but, I think, you know, phones too. I mean, I remember iPhones used to be like $1,200, and they might be the same price now, but that's like, you know, looking back 8 years ago versus now, inflation adjusted. Yeah. They're still expensive. I mean, look, at the end of the day, iPhone, anything you walk into the Apple store, it's expensive. You go to buy like a phone case at the Apple store and it's like $60, and you're like, what is going on here? I do see a lot of people talking about Apple in the chat. I want to be a contrarian on Apple. Everyone's poo-pooing Apple all the time.
Today is the day to do it, Aaron. We've given this strategy out for the last 2 weeks. NVIDIA down, Apple up. And Apple was down this morning. Look at the chart of Apple, just the intraday from this. Apple was down all morning. They're coming in and buying it now. Why? Because NVIDIA is down. This is just the ETF effects and what they do here. And they've been doing it for a while here now. Apple, Google, Microsoft is coupled in with NVIDIA because they've obviously got the ChatGPT product there, so they throw it that way. But Apple and Google and Tesla have been going opposite the overall tech markets here for a while here. Google started to show some life here. It's went green. Apple is green here now. Tesla is still down $2 here, but again, I wouldn't be surprised Tesla gets a bit. Doesn't mean I'm going insane long term here. I'm just saying from a trading perspective here, there are opportunities that you can identify from these relationships and you can extract alpha from this.
Yeah, and I mean, on Google and Apple that have been kind of seen as the companies that are behind on AI, I think over time you're going to see the catch-up trade there because I've said this on the show before, I'll say it again. There's like 0% chance. I mean, like you said earlier, you can never say 0% chance, but I'm going to say 0% chance that Apple and Google aren't benefiting from AI long-term. So the fact that the market is kind of punishing them for being behind, being lagging Microsoft and NVIDIA and these leaders in AI over time, I think there's going to be a catch-up trade there. I'm ready to take a stab at Apple. I might do it today, like you said, Dennis, and we'll see how it plays out.
You know, if you're buying Apple and you're buying it for the next 20 years, I'm with you. You're going to make money on it.
Well, and that's my
thing. I believe you're going to make money. If you've got a 20-year time horizon, and Aaron, your time horizon is a hell of a lot longer than mine because you're 20 years younger than me almost. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. Buy good companies with reasonable valuations. Do I think Apple could be a little more reasonable? Yeah. But, you know, if you're long-term, 28 times, 27 times, 22 times, you know, you're not getting Apple at 15 times anymore. Unless something tragic happens with the company, you're probably not getting Apple, you know, at 15 times multiple here. Unless like the overall market, you know, collapses too. Daniel's, probably not happening.
Yeah, and Daniel's saying they need to buy an AI startup. I thought they did that last week. I think they a did. Smaller company.
They
yeah,
did buy so, something I mean, smaller.
Yeah, they
bought, they know it.
They know Aaron, it. They know
scrapped. They scrapped the car to focus more on AI. They know they're being left in the dust right. here, and they're going to change things up. But my argument has been, and it's been that for a while, and it's why I owned Apple from about 2012 till 2022, I believe. You know, and I owned it, and it was a 500% gainer in my long-term portfolio. And I booked the gains, one, because the multiple just expanded too much, but two, the growth had slowed down so much that I couldn't justify paying 30 times earnings for a company that wasn't growing earnings. So they need something. They need the AI. They need to figure it out. It's hard when you're that size to grow earnings. You know, and NVIDIA will have that problem here eventually, too. Like, look at all the different stuff they were talking about. They're talking about humanoids. They're talking about going into different areas. They're trying to figure out ways to grow the company. Because when you get that big, it's hard to continue to grow. You know, Microsoft's moved on too. You know, we've moved away. You know, it was Windows that made Microsoft, you know, and then, you know, obviously other products, you know, and gaming they got into and all the other things, you know, and now they're getting full on AI. They're trying to find ways and they've got to do that. These companies got to continue to innovate. But I've argued for a while, there hasn't been the great innovation at Apple since Steve Jobs. So you haven't come out with a needle, you know, moving product here that's really moving the needle. In the last 15 years, the iPhone came out back in what, 2007, 2008? They've made it better. They've made it faster. They've made the cameras better. But they haven't given us a whole new set of products. So right now, it's a cash cow iPhone company until proven otherwise. They're trying. You know, they were trying for the car. That didn't work out. They're trying with this Vision Pro. And I do think the Vision Pro second, third, fourth generations are going to be better, less bulky, cooler, doing cool things. But at this point in time, it's a prove me story. And that's why I'm not investing in it.
Yeah, I love Daniel in the chat saying, hey, buddy, Apple will get cheaper. Be patient. And that's, I mean, like Dennis said, I've got a long time horizon. If it dips down to 150 from here, I can always buy some more shares. Yeah, exactly. So that's my plan. All right, 903, Dennis, you got final thoughts for us for today?
Chop. Watch those relationships I'm talking about here. Google is now up $1. So, you know, it's down $2 when we started the show. So it's had a $3 rally. Apple is now up 60 cents here. You can clearly see if they're going to sell the AI stocks, they're going to buy the stocks that hadn't been doing as well. Obviously, you know, Google had the big pop there yesterday, but that continues here. So again, keep an eye on NVIDIA because it's going to be, you know, the driver here for a lot of things. Surprisingly, I didn't think IWM would be as weak here today as it is, but it is. Very much lagging the market overall here. I think they're worried about the Fed meeting as well, maybe coming into it. To your point, Aaron, what is Powell going to say? That's in the next couple of days. We're going to get commentary here. People may be positioning ahead of that, saying, well, he may not like those data points. He might say something about June's off the table or May or June's off the table. I don't want to be long a bunch of small cap stocks or a bunch of solar plays if that's the case. So I'd be cautious buying the dip on those today ahead of Fed Powell.
Beautiful. All right, guys. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in to Benzinga's pre-market prep today. We do have live trading starting up right after this. Make sure to smash the like if you have not already. And we will be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. We'll be bringing on Martha Stokes tomorrow, 8:30, talking some dark pool. So make sure to tune into that. Everyone have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll be right back.